Alumni Weekend. And if you are an alumni, past volunteer, or current member, or are connected to the history of the station, this event is for you. For more details, visit CITR.ca.
Okay, hang on a sec. Obviously, we need to turn that turntable down. Okay, we're just getting our legs here. Hang on a sec. Let me turn this down a little bit.
Hey, you're the master.
Okay.
You're the master.
All right.
Have you seen
Well, it's very exciting to be here in the big chair. Haven't been here for...
The big chair.
Well,
what,
it's...
Are you talking...
It's vinyl.
Yeah. Well, they've changed a lot since being here with Mr. Tanner years ago. And I would like to apologize for my son, Nimrod, who was... Tanner's cohort here a couple years back, and he spoiled things. He made things really rough for a lot of people, and he's gone.
R.I.P. Nimrod. So, okay.
Well, no, he's in L.A. trying to find work, you know, like an actor, right?
So we are starting off something, and we're very excited to be here. My name is Mike Klassen. I have not sat in this chair since... a long time ago. I think I am a 30-year alumni of CITR, and we are celebrating, I know, and we're celebrating the 75th, the diamond anniversary of CITR Radio Hell,
and
the Mighty R.
You might get a t-shirt out of this, you might get a paper flower, you might get, you know, like a coffee. No promises at all, but it's actually really nice to be in this building.
So let me tell people who you are, because
you don't have to do that.
Well, maybe we don't.
You don't have to.
Are we overmodulating? The needles are bouncing all over the place here. I am sitting right across from, to me, the person who was probably one of the most influential people to me in Vancouver media, but in terms of radio, in terms of television, in terms of avant-garde, there are a few people who can really match up to the work of the gentleman sitting across from me. He has many names. I probably could list a bunch of them off. Reverend Rock, Captain Midnight.
Who?
Chuck Steak. But he is known to most folks as J.B. Shane, the former morning show announcer at Coast 1040, going back to FM days, CFON, and all sorts of radio, and of course, Night Vision, Night Dreams, all sorts of great, inspiring times when we used to do really cool stuff in radio and television in Vancouver.
When we were young, when we were babies, you know.
We're still hanging in there, and that's all. That's the most important
thing. I just want to say to you that I have followed what you've been doing since the days of Coast 1040, and I'm really proud, Michael, of the stuff that you've been doing. I'm not talking about ideology here, but you are one of those people who want to make this city better for everybody. I know that. And again, I'm not talking ideologies because like, that's a dirty word.
Uh-huh.
But you've done well. You've done well.
Thank you very much.
And you don't look 50. Man, you don't look.
And I haven't even given you the envelope full of cash yet. For saying that. So that's very nice of you.
Have you seen the new $1 bills?
$1 bill.
Well, no, the $1. Oh, the new $20 bill.
No, yeah. I've heard the sort of so-so reviews on them, but we could.
They get stuck together. You got to be very careful when you take them apart.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, Jay and I actually, for a time, were doing a bit of radio together, and we were. I guess when it was Coast 800, they have drive out to Langley. That was interesting.
And well, that was an amazing time because I would join, and we're going to try and call her Jackie Underwood, the Echo Warrior. We go for walks, and she hugs trees still. But we had to go out there at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was living with a band at that time, Gavin Froom and Jason Cubitt and. Harley and they were called Pull, and they got some airplay here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember distinctly having to get up at like 3:30 in the morning. The band practice was downstairs. I could hear that. That's when I discovered the miracle of earplugs, which I think Robertson, that man at City Hall, should be supplying everyone living in the downtown core.
It's a little noisy where you're living right now, isn't it?
A little noisy?
Yeah,
just a bit.
Well, listen, in the next 90 minutes, and I can't believe they actually gave us this much time on air here, so they will rue the day. what we're going to do here is we're going to tell some stories. We're going to have some people coming on air. We're patching in with the phone lines if we can figure out how to get them working. We're going to be playing some good music, some very eclectic stuff. Jay has brought some some stuff here that I'm a little worried about right now, but it'll be quite fun. So I tell you what, why don't we take another little music break here, and we'll be back in a little bit.
Now to be yeah, you're so chic. To the rebel of the week. Ladies of the mountain streamline. Midnight in casino floors. Dance the cha-cha through to sunrise. Opens up exclusive doors. Oh wow, just like the Mingos, but the same. So me and you, just we two, got to search for something new.
All right, I'm gonna have to turn that one off. Excellent.
I was sitting in a pub in Scotland. Okay, this is 1970. I think it was about 72 or 73 on my first trip to the UK, and I was working at that time at LGFM, and the Eagles were a staple. You know, the usual, and of course the good ones like Zeppelin and the rest of them, and April Wine. And that was my reference point for a lot of music, although I go back to the 1950s. I love the Ronettes. Okay. So, I was in Scotland, had a little pub in a place called Portobello in Edinburgh. Did I say it? Yeah, in Edinburgh.
Yep.
And there was a jukebox, and the jukebox had Alice Cooper, and then it had this thing, Roxy Music, Virginia Plain, which had just made the number one chart. Okay. And I thought, oh, I got to hear this. I played it, and I thought, my God, I got to get this when I get back to, I mean, it's so strange. You know, 2.5 minutes, crazy lyrics. They were amateurs at the time, except for Manzanera. And when I got back to Vancouver, I stole the record from the library, took it home, and played that track. I played the whole album, and I couldn't quite believe, you know, quite get it. But I played that track over 20 times in a row. I won't say what I was on. Nothing. I live a natural life, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
So I played that song, and it just changed my attitude or my listening habits completely. You know, I never wanted to hear April Wine again. That's just a little story there that goes back.
But if you had wanted to listen to April Wine, you'd still be doing the midday shift.
At CHRX.
That's right. So, you know, there's a two sides to every coin, I guess.
I know, and every dream home a heartache. And every radio station the same thing, too. Hey, congratulations to everybody here at CITR for what they're doing and what they've represented all those years. And, you know, a lot. There are many, many people in broadcasting throughout Canada that actually got their start here. We remember Real Roy Hennessy.
Is that right?
Yeah, he started here.
H-E-N-N-E-S-S-Y. Hennessy, he's the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to sing that jingle when I was in elementary school. They had when he did the mornings and CKLG. And, you know, and I mean, if you look at the bio of the station, I know that there. I actually struggle to try and remember some of the names that have gone through mm-hmm. these hallways over the years. And by the way, the hallways have not changed one bit. For anybody who's been here, you'd be absolutely frightened. There are still so many things here that were here 30 years ago that haven't changed a bit.
I timed it. I went to the washroom. You're older. You know, things are going to happen. So I went to. It took me about 20 minutes to find the washroom. Still in the same place, but you had to go. The only thing about CITR, it should have its own facility, don't you think, for older broadcasters?
Absolutely. The top floor in whatever new building they're building out here at UBC, which is constantly happening. We are here. I'm Mike Klassen. This with J.B. Shane. We have been given the privilege of being on air here until 3:30 p.m. when your regular contributor of Entertainment Mayhem, Nardwar the Human Serviette, will be on after this. He has a special guest, an old friend of mine, and an old broadcaster herself, and a CITR alumni, Lior Kornfeld, will be on. But we are here to celebrate and give praise to CITR for 75 years, the diamond anniversary of the Mighty R.
This radio station will outlast any commercial radio station out there right now, because for those stations, and you know that I've done a few of them, people that I talk to these days that I know, they never listen. But this station, this will outlast the rest of them.
Absolutely. And well, let's play some music that put this radio station on the map.
Oops.
By hitting this button.
Is that an LP?
Yeah.
Wow.
Specials, CITR 75, the diamond anniversary here. Mike Klassen with J.B. Shane. And let me turn that one down here. They actually gave me the keys to the car here, so I'm driving somewhat blindly.
Yeah.
So if we're promising dead air, of course. We're promising miscues, songs.
It's part of the charm of the...
of college radio. Do you want to tell us a story about the specials?
Well, it's very simple. They destroyed studio... What was that studio? Rogers Cable Vision.
Oh, yeah.
We were doing Night Dreams, which was a precursor.
Down at the Kits place? Or was it downtown?
No. It was up on around Oak Ridge.
Okay.
With Mr. Tasty, Don Fraser. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was a pleasure. It was Susanna Tabata. Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
Who is actually, Suzanne is on tonight. Let me get my sheet here.
Is she doing a
Suzanne
show?
Suzanne Tabata is on tonight. You might just hang around here all night.
I might be here.
Okay. 7 o'clock, 7 to 8 p.m. with guests tonight. Suzanne Tabata, another fine CITR alumni and documentary filmmaker today.
Well, she was part of Night Dreams, the early show on mm-hmm. cable, before Much Music, may I say, and before MTV. We started off by playing vinyl, where the camera would zero in on the turntable while the music was playing. And you would, that's what you would see. And then after a while, I beg your pardon. Is somebody?
We're doing a show in here, you know that?
We're trying to do a show. What's the matter with you?
We're trying to do a show.
You people. Good. Everybody here is wearing glasses. I can't believe it.
I know, it's the nerdy look. Everybody's so into that now.
I know. Even if they don't need it. You know, they're wearing the dark-rimmed Costello glasses. Okay. So the specials were on the show. They came on there, and because we had many different guests, most memorably Laurie Anderson, for me personally.
Yeah.
She's shorter than I am. Now, the specials came on. They did. They destroyed the studio. They almost kidnapped my border collie, Miss Pooh.
Oh,
and they destroyed. They were jumping up on the turntable. It was quite incredible. You know, some of the stuff that used to go on down there. DOA came down a few times and tied us up.
You know, I could tell you, Night Dreams to me. And again, we have to sort of go into this crazy time machine that we're, 18, 19 years old, or even younger. I think watching Tanner spin those platters, and that was what was TV entertainment there. Friday night, 11:30, midnight, whatever, they would go live, and they the cameras are so big you could barely carry them.
They had
Tanner sitting behind the turntables with a little mirror ball and the globe, and you guys would do sketches. I mean, it was unbelievable. It really was, to me, an inspiration when it was so hard to find that kind of edgy television then.
Okay. Do you remember Terry McBride?
Yes, of course.
He was
Terry McBride, who went on to become hugely successful with Network Records, and now he's doing a yoga adventure of some kind.
And he
also was CITR alumni.
Everybody was.
Yeah.
Everybody, not everybody, but most people. I don't think Raymond Tomlin was.
No.
So we were talking about the specials
and thrashing and Night Dreams.
Yeah, the thrashing of the studio. And at that point, we got into a lot of different skits. Some worked, some did not. And an artist here in town I have great respect for, his name is Oraf, gave me a criticism. He said, JB, what you want to do when you're on television is pull it down. Pull it down,
take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Not this show.
Not that, right? Exactly. Like, calm down.
Yeah,
and just be yourself and project, but don't. Because we were playing it up. I played a program director who was in a skit chastising Tanner, and it was like I was coming on real big like that type of thing. And so, Oraf, thank you very much. Has it helped my career? I don't know.
Yeah, it may have. Well, it certainly made you very memorable to me, and that's really what matters here today. All right, so we're going to play some Cat Power now. We'll talk to you in a bit.
It is out, and close to us.
All right, Jay.
Yeah,
take over.
You're doing over. You're doing a swift job here as a
play your caretaker in the background. Is that going now?
Yeah. This is music by a guy called. He calls himself Caretaker or the Caretaker. He's got about 4 albums out at least. Nobody knows much about him. Whether he knows much about himself is another thing. But he has taken like old 78s. Now, don't you feel like you're walking through the Overland Hotel in The Shining, listening to this? This is music for our senior listeners. That would be my peer group, I guess. And
Marty? Okay, listen, I'm going to put you on air, buddy. Hang on a sec. I think this is going to work. All right, so what do? I got you. Marty, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Marty.
Hey, is this J.B. Shane?
No.
Okay, so, all right, so so everybody knows, this is Martin Strong, Marty Strong.
Yeah, whatever you like.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I was just listening. It was great to hear Mr. Shane on the radio. Mm-hmm. Great to hear that voice again. I haven't heard it in a long time.
You haven't heard the voice in a long time? I haven't used the voice in a long time.
Well, you sound a little different, but Night Dreams was a seminal moment in my cultural appreciation of music. I remember watching it. My friends had a band called the Radio Waves. I don't know if you remember. And my friend Mike and I, we made a film of them, a video on Super 8.
Okay.
And we filmed them in a airport hangar because their song was called Airmail Love.
Uh-huh.
And we made this film, and I guess we zoomed in and out a little too much for your liking, and it looked a little amateurish.
So did we turn it down?
No, you played it, but whenever there was some excessive zooming in and out, you used to you put in footage of the lunar landing.
Oh, that was
odd. It was a little out of context. But
that wasn't me. That was Tanner, who has always been obsessed with the sky, the stars, the moon, and that. He's an astronomer. You know, he's in Madagascar right now, waiting for the lunar eclipse. He gets on freebies, you know, because he does. He's managed to somehow convince. Bahrain steamships that he is a qualified astronomer who can lecture on what you're seeing on top deck at night.
That would be a good lecture. He's got such a soothing voice.
He does.
John Tanner.
He does. He makes me. I'm a very nervous kind of person, really. But when I'm around people like Tanner, I just feel like going to sleep. You know, it just not with him, but just going to sleep.
Yeah, you're very soothed. He's like Valium.
Like what?
Radio Valium.
Radio Valium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
So Marty,
celebrating CITR.
The diamond anniversary of 75 years of CITR Radio. That's where we're here. We've got on the phone here. We got Martin Strong, Marty Strong from Rock 101, CFOX. All you know. This is my show to do some radio reverence.
Oh, that's good.
I love radio, and I And I miss not being more a part of radio, but it has been a part of my life at several stages along the way. I did high school radio. I used to run the little radio club in Clarny High School.
Hey, that's did the same thing.
Did college radio at Langara and then here at CITR, of course. And then got some other stories from radio, good, bad, the ugly. And, of course, Jay and I were at Coast 1040 a long time ago. So, and having all these folks on here that that I admire and the work that they've done over the years is it's just peachy keen for me right now. So Marty, any kind of, I don't know, I'm putting you on the spot here, anything CITR related? I know that you're very close with Leora, who's coming on here at about 3:30.
Oh, Leora, one of my best friends.
Absolutely.
And I did a lot of stuff with Leora when she was doing shows, and that was always fun. The show that I loved that I worked on a little bit, because when I went to UBC, I was also working at CFOX, which was really weird because at that time CFOX was not well respected by the alternative crowd.
Wasn't very
hip. Had to keep that kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm. Is this still going? I don't know.
I don't even know if anybody cares anymore.
I don't know what the kids
are thinking.
No, they're not. They're not listening. Well, some are, but not that many.
Yeah, but the show that I love, that I used to work on, I used to do a lot of promos for and do characters on and stuff, was my friend Glenn and Christine, these two friends of mine, and they had a show called Glenn and Christine's Music Machine. And it was like, this was the early 80s, okay. And they used to play like William Shatner records and Bonanza records and stuff. And at the time, like you hear that now and you go, oh yeah, everybody's into ironic, weird, incredibly strange music. But back then, it was considered kind of odd, and even people at the radio station, CITR, used to kind of turn their nose up at the Brady Bunch album, stuff like that.
Well, of course, now it's revered as being one of the classics of all time.
The Brady Bunch album.
The Age of Irony, yes.
Oh, that Brady Bunch album. I was actually just talking about it today with somebody on Facebook.
About the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, somebody, that's funny, because somebody posted, actually Glenn posted it, the same guy, he posted it.
I never watched the show, I don't even know who these people are. Who are you talking about?
The Brady Bunch.
Oh, the
Man,
Brady.
You have to get a TV, but they had a record.
No, I don't think so.
But they had a record, the six Brady Kids, and the most famous song, was, of course, Time to Change. Remember that one?
No.
Well, when Peter, he was the middle boy, was going through puberty, his voice was changing, and they were supposed to go into the recording studio, and his voice was cracking, so he didn't know what to do. So they wrote a song, and the song was, When It's Time to Change, you've got, and it was a pretty milestone moment in television history.
I'm afraid I was a Partridge Family devotee at the time, so I'll have to disagree on the Brady Bunch.
I'm sure people will tweet you and tell you how important it was.
Yeah,
I used to do a lot of stuff for the UBC newspaper, and I remember once I did an interview with Belinda Carlisle and Charlotte Caffey, I think that was her name, of the Go-Go's.
Oh, yeah.
In the UBC office, they actually drove all the way out to UBC with the record guy, and I did an interview with them for the UBC paper.
Hey, do you remember, in talking about the record guy, the release date for them bringing them to the new vinyl at the time to the stations was on Thursdays, and I used to wait there, you know, like... And they used to give you freebies at that time. Nowadays, well, it's a whole...
Yeah, they're not so good to you anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I remember when I first started working at CFOX in the old days, when I was going to UBC, I remember there was a bunch of records against the wall, just a stack of them against the wall on the floor, and Daryl A. Bear was there. And I said,
The Bear.
Oh, no.
And he said, oh, those
now,
are
Jay,
the Jay,
now, wait a second. You're opening up old wounds here. Jay used to be co-host with
Bear. Can of Worms.
JB and the Bear.
Oh, man.
AM 600.
Was that CHRX?
That's
that
right.
That was a disaster.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
One of the great failed experiments of Vancouver Radio.
I think of two more disparate personalities to put together.
Oh, it was a very dangerous thing that happened there one
Daryl,
time.
Daryl, God bless him. He kind of looked like Oates from Hall and Oates. He had the big curly hair, and he looked like a kind of a rock guy. And you look like a guy who spends a lot of time listening to Lou Reed and Laurie Anderson.
he was wired, and I remember him lecturing me on like. This kind of courting and that kind of courting, you know, like you like this, you like that, and I had come back from the the night before, and he didn't understand what I was talking
the
about.
What's the da?
The Matt Johnson. He's still around. You'll have something out in another 10 years, but he said at one time, he said, "JB, how about that weather? How about that weather, man?" And I kind of at that point I lost it. And I started yelling at him, and I said, "Bear, you don't have me doing the weather. I'm here for more than reading the weather." I yelled at him. I yelled at him really loud, and he was shocked. For the rest of the show, he didn't say very much.
Oh, that is hilarious. I would kill to have an air check of that.
Well, I almost did get killed trying to retrieve an air check of that. No, you can't have that.
Yeah, that's funny. If I was a program director and I was thinking, how can I get J.B. Shane to quit? I know. I'll team him up with Daryl A. Bear.
There are many you could team up with me that probably wouldn't work out, and it would be my fault.
Yeah. Well, luckily for us, you've teamed up with me and CITR Diamond Anniversary. Marty, thank you very much. I think we're gonna try and hit some Dave Edmonds. I was kind of baited by Leora on Facebook. I think Facebook is the new radio. Some maybe I'm gonna work on that idea.
Well,
for
Facebook,
a minute.
I think you're right. I think Facebook is the new. Hey, by the way, if anybody wants to take a course on storytelling in popular media at BCIT. I'm teaching it. Go to their
fantastic.
Website.
Oh, thank you.
And sign up.
Excellent. Well, that's a plug. And so where can I find out more about that, Marty?
You can go to the BCIT website, and it's called Discovering Your Inner Storyteller.
Fantastic.
And it starts in January.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Marty. Thanks very much.
Marty.
Well, thanks, guys. It was great to talk to you. And J.B. Shane, pleasure to speak to you today.
Well, a pleasure to speak to you, too. And all the best in future endeavors.
Yes, all you right. too. And thanks, Mike.
You bet. Thanks, Marty. Take care.
See ya. Bye.
Dave Edmonds.
Almost Saturday night, Dave Edmonds, CITR Diamond Anniversary, 75 years. I'm Mike Klassen, and when I'm here, we're doing some radio reverence. We just thanks very much to Martin Strong for coming on, talking to us. I've got J.B. Shane here with me. Jay?
Yeah.
How are you doing now? Are you feeling like you're getting
older?
The tonsils? No.
Yeah. No, there's, you know, you have to take age. I mean, age is just a number, and that's bullshit. There are things that happen as you get older, you know, I'm fortunate to be alive at 78, and I think that there's a lot of people out there that go back, you know, like, you don't realize the passage of time. And then when you get older, when you get past a certain age, and you'll find out about this.
Okay.
Then you stop to think about the aging and that. And I always, when I'm looking at the paper in the morning, I'm always avoiding the obits.
Mm.
I just don't, you know, want to go there. And, you know, there are, you know, like, I have to go to the can more often. I mean, it gets pretty gruesome from here, so I'm going to stop all this. We don't need to talk about.
That's right. We're just going to
about the fact that I'm old and decrepit, and probably have Alzheimer's.
By the way, this is the health segment of the Diamond Anniversary of CITR Radio. 75 years. We've got. Let me just tell you what you folks. I want you to really just know what's coming up here.
Hey, is the Detwiller Pavilion still open? Or?
I don't know. They've built so many new pavilions around here. I have no idea. I barely can find my way around UBC now. So, of course, regular listeners of CITR will know that the spot that has been here since 1988 and hasn't moved an inch. It is Nardwuar, the human serviette, with a special guest, Leora Kornfeld, old friend of ours and old alumni of CITR as well. And after the news break, Al Thurgood, a.k.a. Jerome Broadway. Wow. They're calling it the Bitter Old Man Broadcasting Show. There's an age theme here. 75.
Yeah, the old timers are coming back.
Mm-hmm. Is it a diamond? Is 75 the diamond? Because they have the diamond jubilee for the queen. That's 60. Somebody's going to help me out. Maybe it's the platinum anniversary. Sorry.
I have no idea.
I don't know. We're all...
Bill Mullen, do you have any idea?
I mean, said that somewhere on the internet. So
oh, is that right?
It must be correct.
It's true.
We mentioned earlier on that Suzanne Tabata, old friend of ours as well, going to be on at 7 o'clock. So... and I'll just read you the rest of the Friday, and we'll give you a little bit more of the rest of the weekend on another break. David Love Jones, African Rhythms, and I don't know if if some of the programming here is some of the regular programming, but Noah Grant, Home Base Returns, and guests, Pyra is doing the Vampire's Ball after midnight, so that sounds very interesting, and... Well, there's something going on in the middle of the night, but I actually want to talk to you about something you did. This is one of these great radio stories. Back when Jay was doing Coast 1040, they had a little studio downtown at Pender and like Butte or something.
Down. Right.
And radio a long time ago figured out that paying a guy to work the all-night shift was probably there was a cheaper way to do that. So they used to do voice tracks. So they'd just have some kid in there, probably getting paid minimum wage, who would play the CDs, they play the voice track. So they asked JB, who is, you know, you think about it, he's the morning talent. Why would you put the morning guy to do the all-night show? But sure enough, they figured he was the guy who was most versatile. So they got JB. To do the all-night voice track.
Which is kind of weird because you
came on at 6 in the morning, you'd be on all night.
It's true.
So you decided, because you're a man of many flavors and many characters, you decided to become a 18-year-old guy named Dale Hawks.
And, that's right.
And we actually had a Saturday night DJ on the show at the time who was very well known from working in, I think, the Love Affair nightclub. David Hawks. So David Hawks had his own kind of brand back there, and JB made it so that he was basically David Hawks' kid. But because this was going on all night for weeks, people started hearing this, like Dale Hawks, and you would be doing Dale Hawks.
Yeah, Dale Hawks. My dad is he's going to be on later on this afternoon, and he's and we're going to play some music for you, and I'm really thrilled to be here all night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is in the morning, and then on and on and on and on.
But the best part of the whole story is you didn't run it past David Hawks. He found out from listeners who are saying, "Hey, man, I didn't know you had a kid."
That's why he doesn't allow me in the venue. You know, I don't get on the guest list. You pay like everybody else. I remember that. No. It was a fun time, and you sometimes had to make your own fun. You know, when they said you're doing the all night show, yeah, but I'm doing the morning show. So what do you do?
We're gonna play some more music, and then I actually, after this break, if we can get him on the phone from Edmonton. I'm very excited about the next guy who's going to be on the radio with us here on the CITR Diamond Platinum 75th anniversary.
Very well done.
So beautiful and so world weary. I met him when he was just 19. Around him I felt so dreary. Oh, you know, he was a living dream. Once I said he was far too bowy, he said, oh baby, you're so tired. He always had a better story, but you know he was always wired. Ronald Cole was a rock star. In 81 he was the king. Ronald Cole was a rock star. In Columbus he was the thing. A nervous angel inside him waiting. He saw the world through its eyes. Saw the world's not even worth hating. All it offers are goodbyes. Ronald Cole was a rock star. He was too big for this town. Ronald Cole was a rock star. It's in the small pools where you drown.
CITR celebration time, and it was very disheartening to see only, well, maybe about 100 people at the Electric Owl up on Main Street. That area is going through some real changes right now.
Yeah.
And Mark Eitzel has always been one of my favorite singer-songwriters. I think he's very underrated. I think that he is one of the very, very best singer-songwriters in America. It goes back to the American Music Club. And all his solo stuff, he does pretty well what he wants. He had a heart attack about 2 years ago, and he played at the Electric Owl. Unfortunately, he didn't play guitar, but he did have a keyboard. And he did have a drummer. So that left him able to sort of take the mic, and it was so powerful. You know, the 100 people that were there will not forget that. Mm-hmm. And it's just unfortunate that this man has not more acclaim than he already has.
And did you mention that he was with the American Music Club?
Oh, yeah.
Great band.
He's got a big following in the UK and in Europe. Not here. So, Mark Eitzel, and that was from his last album. He's got a new one. They're all good. You know, pick and choose.
So I promised somebody would be on after this break here. We're still, I think. Yeah.
Where's the washroom? Where's the washroom?
I think
somebody take me down there.
We'll get somebody to get your walker, and we'll take you down the hallway.
I should have brought my little jar.
No. I'm glad you didn't bring the little jar.
Well, you'll find out. Give it a couple of years.
All right. So I'm going to play some music that my friend will enjoy very much if I can get him on the air here after this one. This is some old King Crimson, Elephant Talk. We'll be right back. All right, we're trying to figure this out again. Hang on a sec.
You're doing a great job.
Thank
you're doing
very much,
a
sir.
Great job.
Okay, so here, hang on a sec. Jay, why don't you take over? I'll backsell it. That's a pig bag. Papa's got a brand new pig bag.
Did you say me take over? Like I would know how to do that?
I got a phone in one hand here. Jackie, are you ready to go? Hang on
a
sec.
Sure.
Jackie,
what
you there?
The Echo Warrior, I love you. Baby, where are you?
Oh, I'm in on the top of the mountain, Little Mountain.
Little Mountain. Well, that's...
Little Mountain.
That's
for old Vancouverites, we all know what Little Mountain is, but for you new people, that's Queen Elizabeth Park.
Mm-hmm. I think people know that. People know that.
Old Vancouverites call it Little Mountain.
Well, we're celebrating...
We got to say who's on the phone here
I'm
first.
I'm a Seasons restaurant.
Yeah, let me...
Having a birthday celebration for my boyfriend, Nick.
Very good.
Okay. And Nick is English. That's a good thing.
Yes.
And now,
very good.
Yeah. Now, we're...
Very, very good.
I just want to...
like you. Very, very good. Like you.
But...
All right. So what?
Okay.
So Jackie, just
very,
so you're
bad.
Jackie, my dear, we're on air here, and I just wanted to let you know we haven't introduced you yet. We've been kind of flying by the seat of the pants right here. So once again, this is the CITR Diamond Anniversary. We actually had somebody go to Wikipedia to try and figure out whether it was diamond. In the UK, it's 60 years, but it's actually 75 years. 75
years
of CITR. Is the other way? 75
years.
In the UK.
75 in the UK.
Anyway, so
We're talking to Jackie Underwood is a wonderful friend, but she was back in the day, back during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, out in Langley. You had to drive me out there in the snow. I don't know how you did it, 3:30 in the morning. You were amazing, and you enlightened a lot of people to... you know, the important...
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here. Yeah, we often used to go out.
Right. Well, you had a
in
very...
Langley.
Yeah, and that's when I learned that you had a very colorful background. You what?
I think we're cutting out, but I said, yes, it often would cut out in Langley. We'd go out at very early in the morning and do the news.
I know.
And as you're saying, I was the Echo Warrior and the news director.
Right. And you fired the
and
entire...
And your chauffeur.
And my chauffeur. But, the big news was when I learned that you had actually met Saddam Hussein. During the Gulf War. And do you want to recount any of that for anybody? I mean, an evil man, yes. But you met him, and you told me that you were impressed by, you know, the way he dressed with his...
he had very nice suits.
Jewish tailor in Paris.
Well, he had all his suits made in Paris, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that was back in the day. He was only vice president then.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, an interior minister. So he had actually started his plot to take over at that point.
This is true, folks.
Yeah.
This lady, this wonderful woman, the Echo Warrior, Jackie Underwood, has met Saddam Hussein. How many people here at CITR, let alone out there in Radioland, could say that? Not even Raymond Tomlin could do that, say that.
Do what?
Well, meeting somebody of that ilk. Remember the day that they hung him and we sat around and we watched that on...
It was New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. A perfect,
I know,
perfect party spectacle.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah, what a spectacle.
Jackie, good to hear your voice. Nick, give him our best. And,
happy birthday, Nick!
And do me a favor, just a little favor.
Yes.
Skip dessert.
Skip
dessert.
What was that?
Skip dessert. You don't need that sugar. You don't need all that stuff. Okay.
It's a birthday. Let her have it.
A dessert storm.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
Okay. So
in remembrance of those days in Langley in the Gulf War.
And Saddam. All right.
Yes.
Here we go. More CITR 75 years in the business, and we wonder how we've lasted that long. Here we go.
Ancient song seem to hide in many places, bringing back.
All right, there you go. So let me tell you a little bit about that one.
Dentaku.
Dentaku. That is the Japanese B-side. Let me turn it down here. The Japanese B-side of From Computer World Pocket Calculator. We used to burn a hole into that piece of vinyl when I was back here. My colleague back then, Dave Jameson, we've been trying to get him on the line from Edmonton, and I know that he's a busy boy. He's been working with the Edmonton Eskimos as their director of communications for the last about 10, 11 years or something like that, and just recently went on to a new gig. And so we've been trying to get Dave on the phone here, but
hard to get.
Yeah. But going back into the time machine a little bit with that track, we just had a wave hello from Lior Kornfeld, who is going to be coming on here forthwith with Nardwar the Human Serviette. Jay.
Yes, Michael.
Yes, sir. You were telling me a little anecdote about Lou Reed.
Well, you know, people talk about who have you met in the business, whether, you know, or have you had any. The only one I can really, I've met a few people. You know, I went backstage and I saw Hendrix back in the day and all of that. But I think the most memorable time was spent in the company of Lou Reed and his two-week bride, Barbara, a New York cocktail waitress, and a pickup band that he got. This is during Transformer, right? This is 1972 or 73, the last be-in. And, of course, the liquor stores were closed, and a very fine, very fine gentleman.
So just so people who are listening here who are born sooner, that Bean used to, can do really quickly, Bean was a, what was it, a concert that took place?
Well, there was a concert, but it was a gathering.
It was a gathering. It was kind of one of these kind of post-hippie, but it was pretty cool at the time.
And they were smoking substance.
No.
They were smoking substance.
Yeah.
So we knew that Lou liked Johnny Walker Red, as well as other things. The other things we left alone. Mm-hmm. The Johnny Walker Red on that Sunday, we brought it to the Rembrandt Hotel. He was up there. We found out from the promoter. Went up there and spent about 3 hours with him. Ness left. I stayed with him. Lou did not do very much talking. I asked him about John Cale's Paris 1919
album. It's funny because he seems like such a chatterbox.
Well, yeah, but he's gone through a lot of changes. I mean, he's had you know.
No, he's always been a very dark kind of figure in some way.
Very dark. And yeah. I would ask him, have you heard Garland Jeffries' album? Have you heard John Cale's album? Because I knew that he knew them. And he said, yeah. And I said, what did you think of them? And he would just look at me and say, what did you think of them? Mm-hmm. You know. And then he walked over to the window and he said, oh, this is a long way down. This is where, isn't this where Ezio Pinza jumped? And I. No idea. So we chatted for a little bit, a lot of tense silences, and then his manager came in, and members of the band said, we want to go up Grouse Mountain there, and he said, I don't want to do that, and he was going to go for dinner, and he left there, and I left in the elevator with him, and then he turned to me and he said, why don't you join us for dinner? And I felt, you know, wow. Mr. Velvet Underground, and so we went down to the restaurant downstairs in the Rembrandt at the time, and we ordered our food, and Barbara, his wife of 2 weeks, wanted just a baked potato, and I'll never forget Lou looking over there and saying to her, well, why don't you just order a baked potato? and Lou had all these Nazi rings on. Nice Jewish boy.
Yeah.
And he had all these Nazi rings on, and I was admiring them and looking at them, and we were chatting for a little bit, but not very much. And then he saw the promoters come in, and he said, I don't want to talk to those people. I don't want to. You're clearly very paranoid. You know, snort, snort. And he did not want to talk to them. And he said, you must try this. And he gave me, I don't drink, but I was drinking Johnny Walker Red, so I was like 3 sheets. And then he gave me green chartreuse. And then he got up and he left. That was it. And I ended up on Davie Street, on the street, because I couldn't hold my liquor. I had to get a cab. I was sick the next day, although I went to the concert. That's my Lou Reed story.
There you go.
But I mean, not everybody can say that they sat around and drank Johnny Walker Red and had dinner with Mr. Reed. Mm-hmm. Still around.
Yeah, still around. And
as is John Cale.
And probably fondly remembers his time in Vancouver.
I'm sure he does.
Doing the elevator with J.B. Shane. And I'm very pleased to be here. I'm Mike Klassen. This is the... Diamond, I don't know, we're the 75th anniversary of CITR. We've kicked off this weekend, this extravaganza, and they've unearthed some folks like myself from days gone by here at CITR. They've given us the airwaves, and I invited one of my radio heroes, J.B. Shane, to be here with me. We're having a little bit of fun. We've got... looks like we've got about another 15 minutes before Nardwuar comes on with Leora, and we'll play some more music, and we'll be back pretty soon. CITR.
If the sashaying of gentlemen is your grievance now and then, what's needed are some memories of flame. Those plaining lakes will surely carry down. Nothing frightens me more than religion at my door. I never answer panic knocking, falling down the stairs upon the floor.
Hanky-panky, no, hanky.
hanky panky, no how. Hanky panky, no how. Hanky panky, no how.
A little bit of Kinks there, celebrating the Empire, the great British Empire.
Times have changed.
And Victoria, CITR, the 75th anniversary. We're coming down to the last few minutes of myself, Mike Klassen, with J.B. Shane, radio legend.
Hello.
And we've got somebody pulled up here on the phone. David, are you there?
I am.
Fantastic, David.
Okay, David is a dear friend of mine. He is also... somebody said, can you get a celebrity on with you, Annette? Well, not to embarrass, but David worked with us on Night Vision, a TV show many years ago that was on Super Channel.
Pinnacle of my career.
The pinnacle of your career, right.
I peaked early.
And you weren't really interested in acting that much. You just had, you know, like he came in and he won the audition for a particular... I'm sorry, what? Oh, no. David, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Confusion reigns, but that's my name. So you came on, you did your thing, and then went on to take acting courses with myself, with Alex Bruhansky, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. And then you got really interested without really trying, and you've done very well, winning the Gemini Award for Traitors back in the day. Do you remember that?
I do. That's looking pretty far back there, but I do remember that.
And more recently, for many, many years, opposite Patricia Arquette in Medium.
I owe it all to your master classes, Shane.
Well,
beyond method.
I've always been beyond method. You know, when you're up there, you've got to be yourself. And I'll never forget what good friend Davey Longworth said back in the day. The camera likes this guy. But, Davey, you proved... Could we get a little... Nardwar is here.
Nardwar.
David Cuban says hi to Nardwar.
All right, well, listen...
Nardwar's a real celebrity. You should have had him on the show.
Well, he's got a show coming up.
We got so many cultural icons in one room at one time. We can't possibly handle this right now.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations,
David,
on the show.
David,
and to CITR.
I love you, man.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Wonderful. Bye.
All right, so we did finally get a hold of Jameson here. I don't know. I got to wait to hang up. Okay, are you ready to bring him on when he comes on? So we'll wing it here for a minute. Jay, so now,
yes.
Of course, Night Vision. Were you guys, you guys, obviously, David was... played a part in the Night Vision program,
It
was Night Vision that was the Super Channel program, right?
That was, yeah, not to be confused with Night Dreams,
right.
And Night Vision was that, and yeah, it was a great time. It was a time of experimental television, and nobody saw it because it was on Super Channel, and they always locked it away. We were the token Canadian content, and we came on like about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, but we had fun. We had fun. Devorah McDonald, myself, David, Dave Baker, the rest of them. It was a great time.
Okay, and so I think...
You got somebody on the line?
Thanks, sir. I think... David, are you there?
I am there.
Oh.
Another David.
Yes, this is... here we are, right down to the wire here. So I've got J.B. Shane sitting across from me and on the phone from Edmonton, Alberta. I've got Dave Jameson. Dave and I sat in these chairs 30 years ago, and so Dave...
The same chairs.
Just so you know, I have played Dentaku. I know I played all your requests.
Pig Bag
was on here a little bit earlier on. Pig Bag was the track. Nice. I'm looking through the glass at somebody who's raising a mocha to me here. It's Lior.
It's a chai latte, an extortionate price in here.
I know.
Absolutely extortionate.
You don't get them that cheap in Boston or that expensive in Boston. So, David, we got a couple of minutes here before Nardwar comes here and busts down the door. What do you want to talk about?
Listen, first of all, I shouldn't be on the same airwave as J.B. Shane. As a guy growing up in Vancouver, not to date you, J.B., I mean, there weren't many finer broadcasters. So
I'm glad that you established that. So is he.
Thank you. I love you. I love you, man.
There's so many memories of working at CITR. Of course, you and I met over our deep love of the McCartney 2 album at Langara. And then when we made our way to UBC, why I ever made it to UBC is beyond me and probably beyond the campus or UBC administration. But anyhow, we went on to CITR. And for me, because I went on to work in commercial radio at NW and CKWX and so on and so forth, and to little fame and no fortune in that industry. But CITR was so, so cool to be part of. I mean, the guys like Chris Defoe and Steve the Chief and Joe March, who was the first real news director I'd ever met in the flesh, and I thought he was really smart and very good at what he did. And just, you know, walking in and being completely intimidated by the guys who dressed like members of the Clash,
you know, I thought it was just a very cool thing for a guy from
Arizona. As I remember, you used to wear boater shoes and a Lacoste shirt, and so they probably wanted to slug you pretty hard when you walked down the hallway.
Well, I don't think wanted. I think they did. I mean, I used to come in there in my blue pea jacket thinking I was pretty subversive. But I really have very fond memories of CITR, and frankly, it's probably where I really grew to love music and kind of cleanse myself of the Little River Band and Alan Parsons Project and actually listen to some good stuff.
And you and I did many a nights of falling asleep to the Alan Parsons Project iRobot. Dave, I'm so glad that you were able to make it on air. We've got many more stories to tell, but we got no time left, so we're going to go to a Teenage Fan Club. Thank you, Jay. What a great time I had here. And listen, CITR, you're right, Dave. It's absolutely been a pivotal part of the media scene here, and it will continue to do great things 75 years and beyond.
Yep.
And
many happy returns, CITR. You've been great, and you're going to continue to be so.
Excellent.
Okay.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. Kino, I know you love pop music, real pop music. This one you will play over and over and over again. Teenage Fan Club. This came out about a year ago from Scotland. They've been around for a long time. You'll
okay,
like
let's
you'll,
do
you'll,
it.
You'll love it.
Thank you, my friend. Bye, everybody.